The 92nd Psalm in the first verse reads, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." It is a good thing to give thanks. We're going to be talking this evening about Thanksgiving. Of course, the scriptures and the songs have been selected to kind of guide our mind along that. And it's a very basic thing, giving thanks and thanksgiving to a Christian and to our walk as a Christian. But I think from time to time, each one of us, I know I do, need to be reminded about these very basic things, because sometimes it's the basic things that we forget to do. If I were to ask myself that on various occasions, and I've kind of thought that that's something that I can do better. You know, I'll go along for a while and I think I'm doing well at something, then all of a sudden I'll think about it and I'll say, well, maybe I'm not doing that up to the standard that God has given us. And I'm sure that if I asked everybody here to raise their hand, or whoever to raise their hand who has thought along those lines and thought, well, maybe I'm not as thankful sometimes as I should be, I think it'd be pretty much unanimous. Thanksgiving is a very simple thing. It's just the expression or giving of thanks, expressing gratitude for favors given. Gratitude, of course, is really just a feeling or a sentiment in response to a kindness that's been done to you. And thanks is really the expression of that feeling or that sentiment. So it's a very simple thing, but it's something that God, I think, finds very important. I could have gone any place I could have gone to the Psalms, and there's hundreds of references to thanks, giving thanks, being thankful, thanksgiving in God's Word in both the Old and the New Testament. So there are many places, but as the one who volunteered to speak tonight, I get to go where I want to go, and so that's where we're going to go. And basically what we're going to do now, we could leave after we've sung songs of praise and thanksgiving to God's holy name. And we offered prayers up to him, offering again. I appreciated Leonard, thanksgiving for all the things that we have that he's blessed us with, both physical and spiritual. But I think it helps us from time to time to look over, and maybe I'll share a few thoughts with you. Maybe you've thought about these things in this light, and maybe you haven't. So turn first with me to the Colossians. That was the first one that we had. What you have here is a description of the character of the new man. Now, this is the new man in Christ, the man who has been immersed in the waters of baptism, has arisen to walk in the newness of life. That's the new man that I'm talking about. That's you and that's me. That's the Christian man or the Christian woman. And that's what this describes there. In verse 15, you'll see that it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." And it's kind of odd that in just these few verses, these four verses here, 14, 15, 16, and 17, there's a lot of things that are mentioned about the character of the new man, but you'll notice thanks and thanksgiving are mentioned twice. So that's how important Paul found it. It really is a characteristic of Paul's writing. I think other than the book of Galatians, it's mentioned at least once, but numerous times in his writings, and he always found it to be very, very important. So in verse 15 there, it says to be thankful. And we're to be thankful. Well, for what? It says to be, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body." We're to be thankful for the peace of God that rules in our hearts because we're Christians. Peace is harmony, absence of conflict. It's always a good thing. And that should reign in our hearts, and we should be thankful for that. We should be thankful for our hopes as Christians. We're a people of hope. We live in a hopeless world, and we serve the one true and living God, and that's where we have our hope. We're the people of hope. Hope is not just something that we blindly go into, but it's expectation and an assurance of that expectation, and so we can be thankful for that. It also mentions the one body. We know what the one body is. It mentions it in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. That's the church. That's us who are gathered here. That's Christians. It's not this building or any other building. It's you and it's me, those who are faithful Christians. That's who it is. And that's the body, and we're thankful for that body. We should be. Sometimes I think that we lose sight of that. We have personalities here, different personalities. We have some with very, very... a lot of us with very, very strong personalities, and sometimes people with strong personalities get into conflict with one another because, you know, they're always right. You know, I know I always am. I don't know about, no, I'm just kidding. I know, I don't know about you, but you can ask Martha. Mandy tells me, Mandy, you can't get it, but that's my oldest daughter, a stronger personality than that. But Martha says, well, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. So that's true, but we do. We need. Are you thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ? That's the message I think that we have here. Are you always as thankful for them as you should be? Are you giving thanks to God for your brothers and sisters in Christ? I know some of us have traveled to various parts of the country and to the world where we're not fortunate enough as we are here to have a large number of Christians. I consider this from some places we've been a large number of Christians that we have that we can fellowship with both here and outside of the services, and that we can strengthen and they can strengthen us. We can encourage them, they can encourage us, and we can love them and they can love us. And this will cause us all to be stronger. Going down to verse 17 there, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It says all things. That couldn't be right, could it? It says, whatever you do, to do all in the name of God, giving thanks to the God the Father. Whatever you do in word or deed. We are to give thanks for all things. In every duty that we have as a Christian, we're to be thankful for the strength and the reason that God has given us to be able to accomplish that duty. I may not be the best public speaker. I admit that. It's not something that I willingly do, but it's something that I think I have an obligation as a Christian man who's able to do it to the best of his ability to do that. And I thank God for the strength and the reason that he's allowed me to have. Now, sometimes I'll make a mistake, and one of you kind brethren will come to me and express or tell me about that mistake and correct me, and I appreciate that also. But we have something to be thankful for in that God has given me the strength, and he's given me some ability, a measure of ability, to be able to stand before you and to do this. So I can be thankful for that. We're to be grateful for the mercy of God in giving us such a Savior as Jesus. We can always be grateful for that. Thankfulness really here is to be part of our character, the character of the new man. I think it's very clear that it's a very important part of the character of the new man. Turn with me now to the next scripture that we read, and that's Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Really what he's talking about here, if you begin in the 5th chapter in verse 1 there and following to 7, he's talking about the way that we ought to walk again. So he says that we should walk in love there at first. That's what that talks about. The next few verses up from 8 to 14 talk about walking in light. And the verses that we're concerned here talk about walking in wisdom. He says there, see that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly just means that we walk diligently or perfectly. That is the way that God wants us to walk. And if you'll notice in verse 20, he says, here we have that word thanks again. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to walk diligently. Part of that is to be giving thanks always for all things. Now, some people don't agree with that. Out of all of the commentators I read, though, I think it was one who I really respect, and he was a member of the church, and he didn't think that was right. He didn't think it could be right that we should be always thankful for all things. But I think that's what it does teach. And I think if we go to other scriptures, like if we go to the first chapter of James, what does he tell us there? Count it all what? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials or tribulations. And then Romans, the 8th chapter in the 28th verse, what does Paul write there? All things work together for good for those that love God. So that means good things work together for good and bad things. All these things work together. I'm not saying I understand it completely, but I think it's true that we gather strength. Just like James said, you face these trials, and the next time you have a trial or tribulation come along similar to that, or somebody else says, you can advise them, that you'll be stronger that time than you were the time before. Just like resisting temptation. The more you resist it, the better you'll be able to resist it. what would you have, you know, we somebody wrote a sermon, and it was, I think it was in Memphis, it was a long time ago, and it was basically about Philippians 4:6, which we'll get to in a moment, but it was talking about being thankful, and he says, in youth, what do you have to be thankful for? You know how bad it is being young. But the brightness and prospect of your future life. What about in age? Well, there's nothing to be thankful about in age. We all know that. Those of us who are getting along in years have the aches and pains and all the distresses of life. But we can be thankful for all the years, the wonderful lives that God has given us, the wonderful years that we've already lived. So even in age. And health, that's a great thing. And this is probably we can be thankful that for this greatest of physical blessings, that we have our health. What about an illness? Certainly we couldn't be thankful for anything, but what about the care, the abilities of the physicians and nurses who are caring for you? What about the tender concern of your loved ones and your brothers and sisters in Christ? You could be thankful for that. What about in wealth? Well, there's certainly something, but to be a steward of such blessings, you can be thankful for that. What about in poverty? Well, what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit. And also continuing on in chapter 6, we read about in the Sermon on the Mount that in the knowledge that God will care for us, he says, look at the birds in the sky. God does what for them? He cares for their every need. What about the lilies of the field? There's nothing grander than appearing than the lily of the field. So even in poverty, God looks after us, and we can be thankful for that. What about in great loss? Some of us have experienced. What about you can be thankful for the things that you retain, the things that you still have? What about in death? Not a pleasant thing, but it is a pleasant thing for us because as Christians, we have the hope. We talked about people of hope of what? Of eternal life. So even in death, we have things to be thankful for. Really, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, in all situations, we have things, something that we can be thankful for. And that is for Jesus, our Savior, who came to this earth willingly and lived and died so that you might have hope of a home in heaven with him. We can be thankful for his life that he lived and taught us, the death that he died, and his resurrection. We can be thankful for all of those things. So we have a lot to be thankful for. Turn now to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And this is one that I have some of this I have problems with. You all know my strong personality, my stand politically, so that's all I'll say. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And this is true. We're to give thanks for our leaders. We're to be thankful for them. We may not agree completely with them on everything that they say or do, but I think if it's me, I'm going to be praying that they do the right thing, and the right thing is what God wants them to do, isn't it? And that's how we should pray. We should pray for them, not that we have an abundance of blessings every day, but we should pray that we can live quietly and peacefully, and that we can be godly people without interference, and that we can revere God. Those are the kind of things that we need to be praying for the kings and those in authority. But really, we're to be, it says, all men. I don't know about you, but I find it a whole lot easier to pray for a friend than I do somebody that I consider maybe not quite so much a friend. It's not so much easy to do that, is it? But it's something that God wants us to do. We read in verse 4 there, Why does God want us to? What about God? God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, and that's our job. How are they going to do that? That's through us. And if you love them, or if you don't love them and you avoid them and you're not thankful for them, you're not going to do the things you need to do to help save this person that God loves. God loves all men, and we should too. We should pray for those that are lost, that they might come to the knowledge of the truth and obey that truth before it's too late. Remember, Christ didn't die just for Alan or Leonard or John or Sue. Christ died for every man. It's a very important thing to remember, and God desires each one of us to be saved. Each one of us. 1 Thessalonians, as he ends that, he gives various, he exhorts them. And it's very important to remember now that these things aren't requests. God's not saying, well, it'd be a good, Paul's not saying it'd be a good thing if you did these things, but if you don't want to do them, don't worry about it. He says there in verse 18, in everything, again, that everything, even in adversity, in everything give thanks. Well, why do we want to do that? Well, what does it say after that? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I think that says it all. God's will for us is that we give thanks in all things, and we be thankful for all those things, even adversity in our lives, because we can grow stronger from that. It's God's will. It's also God's will and God's desire that we show gratitude to him in expressing of that thanksgiving, and we got to remember that. We are to have, and this is a Steve-ism, I didn't read it anyplace else, an attitude of gratitude. That's the way we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to be grateful. Grateful for all that we have and grateful to God for these things. And just as when, like in rereading 17 there in verse 5, it says, 16 says, rejoice always, to be happy people. He wants us to be happy people. But to pray without ceasing, and we know what that means. That means to always be of an attitude to pray. Well, this Thanksgiving is the same thing. We always have an attitude of thanksgiving and being thankful to God for the things he's given us, the things he's done for us. Turn now with me to the last one. Leonard, he used this morning on me. He always manages to do that one or two scriptures. I don't know why. But this is where we'll end up here. Philippians, the fourth chapter. In verse 6 there, it says, he's talking about these folks in Philippi, and he wants them to be united. He wants them to all be one. He mentions a couple names. He wants them also to be happy people. He wants them to be joyful. And in verse 6 there, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, anxiety is just rampant today. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just rampant. I mean, I think it's more, anxiety is now probably, there's more people suffering from it than things like depression. And it says here that this, we're not to be anxious. As Christians, as God's children, we don't need to be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known to God. And what does that mean? Well, I know one thing it means is that we can be thankful for when we go to God in prayer, what happens? He hears our prayer, first of all. And what else? He answers that prayer. Now, that prayer may not be answered in the time or the manner that you think is appropriate, but I guarantee it's answered in the way that's best suited to get you to heaven. That's God looking after our soul. So we can be thankful for that. And that should lessen our anxieties. I mean, just think if you had the biggest daddy on the block, you know, nobody can beat up I feel safe. I feel secure. Well, we do have the biggest daddy on the block, and that is God. And he promised us that he would hear us, and he would answer us, and he would care for us. Thanksgiving should always be part of our prayers. We can always find something to be thankful for. And we should, again, always express that thanks to God. And if we do these things, again, that peace of God, if we do these things, the peace of God, that harmony, that tranquility, will guard our hearts and keep us from being anxious and keep us from worrying all the time. Hopefully, like I say, when you do this, you get to pick out the songs, which is nice because I get to pick out ones that, within reason, they have to be songs that I know the song leaders. So Martha's got to approve them, first of all, and then I got to make sure it's okay with the song leaders. I mentioned Paul always being thankful. And, you know, there's a litany of things that were written, but remember what happened in Acts, the 16th chapter, to Paul and Silas. That's when they were thrown there, put in the inner prison. Not only in a prison, you know, I watch the prison shows on TV, and it's nothing like that. These were places of just foulness and filth and just horrible places nobody would ever want to be. And these, Paul and Silas, were not only put in prison, but they were put in stocks in prison, in the inner prison. And so they were, woe is me, right? Or did Paul live up to being what he told us to do? And he did do that, weren't they? They were, what were they doing? they're praying and they're singing songs or singing hymns. And I guarantee you that Paul and Silas, a part of the prayers and the songs or hymns that they were singing were that there were thankfulness involved, thanksgiving to God for all the blessings that they enjoy, even in such a situation as that. That's just the way Paul was. We also can be thankful. The Philippian jailer, you know, there was an earthquake and the doors were open and the Philippian jailer comes running in and he was worried because he would be responsible for this and that could have ended with him being in prison or even worse. And he was going to hurt himself and Paul yells out that, you know, don't harm yourself. It's we're still here. And the response to that was from the Philippian jailer. He realized who these men were. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And that's a question you need to ask yourself this evening. What must I do to be saved? Well, Paul said, believe in Christ Jesus. And then later he said he taught them the word, he continued to teach them the word, and they were not 6 months from now immediately baptized for the remission of their sins. And that if you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to understand that's what you need to do. And then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will be guard your hearts and minds. So if we can help you in any way this evening, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing.